It won't be long now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. General Motors announced this morning its bondholders have rejected that offer to exchange much of their debt for GM stock. We're joined by bankruptcy attorney Doug Bernstein with Plunkett Cooney in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Doug, does this mean a GM bankruptcy?
Oh, I think so, for a couple of reasons. I mean, really, Bill, if you think back, these terms were dictated by the government to General Motors as far back as December when the bailout package was proposed. So while the government said, okay, GM, you have to convert two-thirds of your debt to equity, there's no way they can control the bondholders saying yes. So really, unless the government decides to change the terms, it really does mean bankruptcy.
Bondholders also presumably think they can get a better deal in bankruptcy. Is that true?
That's a tougher fight for them. I think the argument is going to be that they should be at least treated similarly to the UAW, but it, really what it might boil down to is the minutiae and the details of how the UAW gets to where they're at and the difference in the treatment. Certainly, in a traditional bankruptcy, GM would not have the ability to elevate the priority of any particular class of creditor above that to which the bankruptcy code provides for. So it'll be curious to see how they, in fact, do this. And really, they do need to live by the terms of the bankruptcy code, and similarly situated classes of creditors do need to be treated according to what the bankruptcy code provides. So it remains to be seen.
Yes, these automakers are not in normal bankruptcies.
Oh, no.
Doug Bernstein is a bankruptcy attorney with Plunkett Cooney in Michigan. Thank you, Doug.
My pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And meanwhile today, General Motors is meeting in Berlin with German and U.S. officials and the bidders for GM's European division. Fiat is one of the contenders. And Chrysler heads to court today to ask a bankruptcy judge for permission to sell its assets to Fiat. Asian stock markets today applauded that report about surging U.S. consumer confidence. Hong Kong shares jumped 5%. European stocks are slightly higher now. Yesterday, the Dow leapt 196 points to 8,473. Surely you have seen the McDonald's fancy coffee campaign. They want to be a Starbucks alternative. Today's Financial Times says McDonald's is taking that fight to Europe, planning to open hundreds of new McCafés on the continent. What will they say? Back home, McDonald's annual shareholders meeting is today in Oak Brook, Illinois. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner tells us about a shareholder resolution that would make McDonald's eggs cage-free.
The Humane Society's Paul Shapiro says Wendy's, Burger King, Hardee's, they've already started using cage-free eggs, even if it's just a small fraction. So where's Mickey D's?
There's no excuse for McDonald's to continue lagging behind its competition on an issue as important as animal welfare.
Activists are squawking about McDonald's because it's the biggest egg buyer in the country. In 2001, the Golden Arches took the lead by demanding its suppliers give more cage space for hens. Its suppliers didn't like it, but they did it. Fast food analyst R.J. Hottovy says if McDonald's demanded cage-free eggs, many producers would switch.
I think certainly it's something that could turn the tide, and you see more and more people go to a cage-free stance.
McDonald's is already phasing out caged Egg McMuffins in Europe. Authorities there will ban crowded hen cages by 2012. But McDonald's says it won't make a decision on doing the same here before it completes a large-scale study on the issue. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. American Public Media presents The Next American Dream. What will it look like? Find out more at nextamericandream.org.
Zales, the diamond retailer, reports quarterly earnings today. They're expected to be lackluster, with customers cutting back on luxuries. Some makers of luxuries are cutting back, too, quite literally, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us.
If you're looking for the latest in luxury, you could ask your butler, or you could always turn on the Colbert Report.
Times may be hard, but they've led to some exciting new products, like the popular new Smoke for the Elite Nubs, which are shorter, cheaper versions of luxury cigars.
At 4 inches, nubs are kind of like half cigars. At $6.50 a piece, they cost about half as much as a typical cigar. Sam Lacia created the small smokes. He says they've caught on.
I mean, it did close to $8 million in its first year, and those are really big numbers for a brand right out of the gate.
Nubs are among several luxury products going small to make it big. The affluent aren't spending like they used to, so high-end restaurants are expanding their appetizer menus. Tony Hotels are promoting shorter stays. Even perfume is going petite.
Welcome to the world of Harajuku Lovers Fragrance.
Pop star Gwen Stefani launched the Harajuku Lovers fragrance line in the fall. The bottle designs are inspired by the Harajuku Fashion District of Tokyo. Karen Grant is a health and beauty care analyst with NPD Group.
These were about a third of an ounce and extremely successful. It was one of the best-selling launches that we had for 2008.
So successful that a few companies, including the one behind Stefani's line, are planning to launch other small bottles next year. Milton Pedraza is the CEO of the Luxury Institute.
I think it's just adapting to what the consumer needs. It's still a premium product. It's still efficacious. It's still beloved. It is still a very high price, but it is more affordable on a by-the-slice basis.
Pedraza says luxury consumers are loyal to their brands. And if more companies took a cue from cigars and cologne, they too may find that less is more in a shrinking economy. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for joining us. I hope you have a minutely pampered Wednesday.
American Public Media.